It's Monday, February 2nd. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. Protests against federal immigration enforcement continue around the country, and WFYI's Zach Castle will tell us more on your basic protest rights in Indiana. Added support for people with medical debt could come through a measure at the State House. And the youth vote is falling behind the national average in Indiana, according to a new study. I'm Zach Bernard, filling in for Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. Protests against federal immigration enforcement continue around the country after the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy in Minneapolis. WFYI's Zach Castle has more on your basic protest rights in Indiana.
The U.S. Constitution guarantees everyone free speech and peaceful assembly rights. These rights are strongest when exercised with permission in areas called traditional public forums, which include parks, sidewalks, and streets. Ken Falk is the legal director at the ACLU of Indiana.
You are not allowed to obstruct law enforcement, but you do have the right to assemble, you do have the right to observe.
On public property, people generally have the right to protest, but can't block buildings or their official purposes. On private property, owners set rules. Counter-protesters have the same rights as protesters. Police can order a crowd to disperse as a last resort if there is an immediate threat to public safety. I'm Zach Castle in Indianapolis.
Added support for people with medical debt could come through a measure at the State House. WFYI's Ben Thorpe tells us similar legislation has been put forward by Democrats for years, but is now receiving Republican support as well.
Medical debt in Indiana reportedly tops $2 billion, with one in five residents having debt currently in collections. Republican Ed Charbonneau's bill is aimed at creating guardrails around medical debt to make sure Hoosiers know what resources are available to them. The bill requires hospitals to offer payment plans to people who meet certain income guidelines.
And all we're trying to do here is to make sure that they get paid by working out a payment plan.
Charbonneau acknowledged that most hospitals have payment plans, but says many people likely don't know about them. The bill also prohibits liens against a person's home as a consequence of medical debt. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
For a second year in a row, lawmakers at the State House are advancing a bill that would criminalize homelessness. The measure would establish misdemeanor charges for camping outside on public property. Supporters of the legislation say it offers a chance for law enforcement to engage with people and connect them with services. Opponents worry it adds another barrier for people experiencing homelessness and does not offer them support. Teenagers in Indiana will not have to worry about not having access to Instagram or TikTok, at least for now. Indiana lawmakers removed language from a bill that would have banned social media for children under a certain age. The change was made without any debate from lawmakers or explanation from the bill's author, Senator Jeff Rotz. The language could still be added back to the bill as lawmakers enter the second half of the session. Bills have until February 24th to reach final passage. In Indiana, the youth vote is falling behind the national average. A new survey from ReCenter Indiana is looking into why. IPR's Aubrey Wright has more on what the nonprofit found.
ReCenter surveyed 300 Indiana adults aged 18 to 24 who registered to vote but never cast a ballot in the 2024 general election. The survey showed how negative they feel about the government, politics, and the state of the world. The majority surveyed also felt their voices wouldn't influence the government's actions. 80% say they don't trust the federal government, and 65% say they don't trust the state government. Only about a quarter say they have a positive outlook on the country's future. Democrats' outlooks were especially negative, the report says. Still, the majority hadn't written off casting a ballot in 2026. Most said an honest and genuine candidate would motivate them. I'm Aubrey Wright.
Those non-voters say affordability is their top issue. More news is on the way in a moment.
Hello, my name is Robert Haddad, and I'm a teacher at Fort Wayne Community Schools. WBOI have been crucial to my classroom, and as a community partner and public radio station, they are an excellent source for facts. It's a reliable news source for my students, for myself, especially in the age of misinformation, disinformation, propaganda. They're just an invaluable community partner for us. So join me and countless others in protecting public radio. Learn how to at wboi.org/save.
And now, with a look at the events of the week, here's managing editor of The Local, Kara Hackett.
This week, you can catch free screenings of the docuseries The Shame of Chicago, Shame of the Nation at Cinema Center. The screenings are hosted by the City of Fort Wayne's Metropolitan Human Relations Commission and Office of Housing and Neighborhood Services as part of their February Fair Housing series to mark Black History Month. You can also attend First Fridays on Broadway, featuring a group show exhibiting at Fancy and Staple with four artists from Studio Wazen, opening February 6th. That's a quick look at our top things to do this week. For a complete rundown of local news, culture, and events, become a free subscriber to The Local's weekly email news brief at thelocalfw.com.
That's Who and What for Monday, February 2nd. These stories can be found at wboi.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter Frequency at wboi.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thank you for being here and have a great rest of your day.